Thanks for coming to my show.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
So I can see you're doing different works. I can see you wrote a book, and apart from your full-time job, I can see you are part of a user group. So I thought to tell about your work and also a little bit of your previous experiences to my audience.
Sure. So yeah, you mentioned I do a variety of things. My day job, I'm a consultant, team lead, working with SharePoint, Power Platform, M365. And then on my spare time, I've written a book, covers right over my shoulder, Building Solutions with the Microsoft Power Platform. That one got published early January. And I organize the Tri-State Office 365 user group. We meet every month, every second Tuesday of the month. Organize M365 Philly, and then I co-organize a few other events with a couple of buddies of mine. M365 Philly is a larger scale event. We usually have 15, 20, 25 speakers. And it's typically a day-long event with multiple tracks. Do a little bit of blogging. I'm not consistent with the blogging. It's a very on and off thing. If I feel like there's a topic that is worth writing about, I'll just spur of the moment, right? So I don't usually have a set date where things come out, but trying to get a little better at that. And I think that covers everything.
And what's your full-time job?
I'm a consultant. So I've worked for various consulting companies over the years. I'm a team lead, so I manage a group of four other consultants. And then I'll just do a variety of projects. So where I'm usually the lead on those projects. So I just fit yesterday wrapped up a large SharePoint migration. It was a 22 terabyte, 5,000 sites, 1,000 forms, 1,000 workflows. That took quite some time. And the next project, I'm not sure. It might be a development project, it could be a Power Platform project. We'll see what I get assigned.
And what is this book about?
So the book is about the Power Platform. It provides an introduction into what is available to you in the Power Platform. So I walk through all of the different tools. I do some examples of the tools. I spend a couple of chapters focusing a little bit on AI. How to use the AI features that are available, or how to use Azure Cognitive Services as part of your solutions. And I kind of cover it at a high level, trying to get people who either are not familiar with the Power Platform used to and understanding what it does, people who are aware of it and maybe have played with it a little bit, giving them a little bit of what it's fully capable of. And the hope is to kind of get them started and go from there.
Your voice is breaking sometimes.
Is it? Yeah, I might be having some microphone issues.
So, when did you start this? I mean, when you are doing your regular work, you decided to explain the concepts?
Oh, for the book. So I was doing some speaking events. I was speaking at the I think it was the Microsoft Virtual Marathon. And after that presentation, someone from O'Reilly, an acquisition editor, reached out and asked me if I'd be interested in writing a book. So we went back and forth. I had a little bit of hesitation just because, the cloud, right? Everything changes so frequently. And after a couple of conversations, I decided to go for it. It was something I always wanted to do. So I figured, why not take advantage of the opportunity and go ahead and write it? So I went ahead and did it, and it took about a year and a half to complete. between all the editing and all of the things that go on behind the scenes, updating it whenever Microsoft made a change to one of the products or a significant update to the products, making those changes and squeezing them in before the book got to print. And I would pretty much spend, it was a funny cycle. So I would, in the beginning, they give you some strict deadlines. Once you get half of the book written, they kind of let you set your own schedule. At that point, they trust you to do the rest of the book. So in the first couple of chapters, I would be spinning my wheels trying to figure out, what am I going to talk about in this chapter? And I, without fail, like, the writer's block would go away when the deadline was approaching. So a lot of the chapters were finished in crunch time. So I'd spend a lot of nights and weekends just writing. But yeah, it was a long process, about a year, year and a half.
And tell me, you as an organizer of monthly user group M365.
Yeah. So the user group, is a local user group. I used to just be an attendee, and it's switched hands a couple of times. But there was a point where I wanted to be just a little bit more. At that time, I think I was only blogging. But I wanted to get more into more consistent presenting and other things. So I volunteered to help the organizer at the time. And then he wanted to transition away, so I ended up taking over. And I've been running it for quite some time now. I forget when I started. I want to say I started maybe in 2017. So I've been organizing it ever since, just finding new speakers finding speakers to present once a month. And then about 2 years in, I was talking to the attendees, and we were talking about, at the time it was SharePoint Saturday Philly, and we hadn't had one in the area for, at that point, I think it was maybe about 3 years. So in 2019, we brought it back, and 2020 was a pandemic, so we went to virtual. And we've been virtual ever since, but we're trying to go back to in person. There's still some hesitation from folks to go back in person, so it might not be as big as an event as we have had in the past for the in person stuff. But we'll see. There's usually a large push of registrations at the end. Everybody likes to wait to the very end when it's close to the date, so that they know, yeah, I'm going to be around for that. But yeah, that event, that one's bigger. So the user group is small. We usually have one or two speakers every month. And, you know, they'll speak for maybe about 45 minutes each. The meetings are usually between an hour to 2 hours, depending on how much conversation we have. And then in Decembers, we do lightning talks. So every December, we try to get maybe about 6 to 8 people presenting, and they only get 15 minutes. They can do a slide deck if they want. Most do just a brief demo. And basically the idea is to have people just feel comfortable with presenting, so that maybe in the future, if it's something that they're interested in, they've already had a small taste of it without having to commit to 45 minutes to an hour. It's a safe space. Like, no one ever is judgy or anything like that in those meetings. And, you know, it just gives people some opportunity. Plus it's fun. It keeps the last meeting of the year, very light. So, you know, you're not sitting there potentially watching a heavy presentation. You're sitting here watching how, this one guy built a power app to scan, bunch of his records in his record collection, so you can keep an inventory. And then, you know, the next presentation is, you know, what are the newest changes in Microsoft Stream? And it's just a nice variety. The larger event, M365 Philly, that one's typically a day long. The virtual ones, we've been doing them. I've been trying something different every year. So the first year, I forget which years were which, but there was one year where it was just one day long event. There was another year where it was like a half day, but multiple days. Experimented with 3 day event, a 2 day event, a Friday and Saturday event, a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday event. So we just kind of jumped around just to kind of see what was working and what wasn't. And then the in-person events, we just do those on Saturdays because it's easier to get a venue and things aren't working and it's just easier for everyone. Get off of work.
So, do you remember your first job as a software developer in 2004 to 5?
I do. So it was an IT consulting company down in Bethesda, Maryland. And I tell this story all the time. When I started working in SharePoint, I did not know I was working in SharePoint. So it was a consulting company. We were building a bunch of web parts. It was SharePoint 2003 at the time. And they rebranded essentially. They had like a packaged solution just to kind of quickly deploy intranets that are already set up and configured. So they had their own custom web parts, their own branding and all these things. So they were calling it something different than SharePoint. And I spent about a month, the first month of my career, learning how to build web parts, deploying web parts. And I remember one day the team and I, we were all going out to lunch, and I turned to one guy and I go, "So is this thing SharePoint or are they two different things?" So for like a good month, I didn't realize the thing that I was building was necessarily a SharePoint product. Strange first month, but yeah, I remember that first one. It got me interested in SharePoint. I dove right in. That was my first full-time job, and I've always liked it. I don't know. I guess it's the variety that SharePoint can provide, the fairly consistent platform that, if you've build something on it, you kind of know how you're gonna build future things. But then you get to kind of see how people approach their business differently, how they use lists and libraries, how they use some of the other features, and then you start getting ideas. So in the future, when you meet another customer who wants something similar, you either have a framework for what could potentially work for them. But then that's the other thing, and that's why I like consulting. Is that there's always so much variety. You could be working for one pharmaceutical company's HR team, and they'll ask you for something to build. And you'll work for another pharmaceutical company's HR team. They'll ask you for the exact same thing, but it has to be built completely different. And I like having that variety. Something new.
Great. And you worked as solution developer at 2005 to 7, 2 years.
So my job for the most part has been a developer. So all the way through, I've essentially been a developer, just moving up into different levels of responsibility. So basically, from 2004 till today, I write code. It's just as I move up, it's less and less. More getting more and more involved in the sales side of things, scoping out projects, figuring out how long it's going to take for a project to run, how many people are going to be on it, high level, what's the solution going to be, what do we want to build? A lot of times when I'm helping scope out those things, if I'm the one leading the scoping effort, although now we have a current employment, we have a team that that kind of does that, so I don't have to do it as much. But prior to that, you know, I would go in and I would scope out the effort. I would partner up with people who I thought were going to be on the project and just kind of go back and forth and brainstorming and figuring out, do my numbers look right? Because the last thing I want to do is say something's going to take 3 days because, you know, maybe I've done it before and I think it's 3 days and it's going to take someone else have to do because they have to get, they have to learn something new. And so I like to talk to people and figure out, does this make sense? Does this work for you? And some number in the middle. What else? I've worked on like go-to-market type of things where we try to figure out what customers are interested in and how we want to approach them, how we want to work with sales to figure out how to talk to customers about these things and why it might be important. And then kind of putting a framework around, you know, kind of effort we thought it would be. You know, is this going to be like a 3-week project? If it is, what's going to be in that project? What are we going to deliver as part of that project? And you know, just a variety of different things in my role. But I think at the core, it's always been development involved, and now it's more management and leading teams, organizing teams.
And is it okay if I talk about different roles of yours in your career?
Yeah, that's fine. Like I said, they're mostly the same. Like it's mostly development, but yeah, go ahead.
Let me ask you some questions that are there in my mind. So you worked on development side a lot of your career, and also now you are being a consultant. You're talking with people. So how it is being in two different platforms in technology?
So I don't kind of look at it that way. I think of it as all one big suite of integrated solutions. So, yeah, I started out with SharePoint. SharePoint had, you know, back in the day, it was InfoPath Forms. It had its own workflow engine. You would build your web parts and all of those things. As it progressed, we still continue to build web parts, but things would get pulled out. It's reporting capabilities. We now have Power BI. It's form capabilities. We now have Power Apps. The workflow, it's now Power Automate. So to me, it feels more like an evolution of the tools and the types of work that we've been doing. I don't view them so much as, and to your point, they are separate products. You could deep dive and focus on individual products and build a career around them. Like you can some SharePoint and build a career. You can go drill down and focus on Power BI and build a career. I've always been a little bit of a generalist, so I kind of play with a little bit of everything, and I've never had difficulty switching between the things. So I can get put on the development project. Although these days I would say I'm probably a slower developer than I used to be since I don't do it as frequently. But yeah, you can put me on a development project and I'd be fine. Put me on a Power Platform project and I'd be fine. Put me on, I don't know, some other project. And I keep involved in each of the individual pieces at some point or another, so it doesn't really go away.
So right now you are a team leader. So how you are doing this and what's going on?
So the team lead role is more of a like a management role. So I have a team of 4 consultants, and I basically just kind of help unblock them, let them focus on their day-to-day projects. They have project managers on those projects. Every now and then they might reach out for some advice on something, but they're all pretty seasoned. So it's not often that they need help on the project stuff, other than maybe bouncing a question off of me. But really my role is to kind of help them through their careers. If they have a question about vacation time, they reach out to me first. I may or may not know what the answer is. And rather than them going around looking for people to figure that out, I'll figure it out for them. I help set their goals. And you know, I really just kind of help them enjoy their work. You know, I try to support them in whatever way they can. And then as part, I don't know if it's exactly part of the role. So that's the team lead role, but I also do delivery. So I'm in projects. So I mentioned the migration, and on that one, it was a large migration. So we were broken up into multiple work streams. My stream was specifically focused on the SharePoint migration piece, and it was me, a few people onshore, and then the majority of the team were offshore, and we were just coordinating back and forth. I would set the tone, essentially. So we needed to, we had a few challenges in that project where they were mostly timeline related, making sure we got enough sites completed in a short window of time. So being the developer, I would build some things to kind of automate the process for them. So once we nailed down what the migration was going to look like, we would, I put together a script, and throughout the process just kept incrementally improving it. And then once, it's basically our stand-up meetings, since you know, migration is straightforward, it's move site from point A to point B, you know, make sure certain things are working. So our stand-up meetings were essentially, what don't you like about what you're doing right now? And let's build it into the script. So we would just keep gradually improving the project. And it was fun because we got to see on that project, and you know, early on, we would get a lot of tickets from the business saying, this doesn't work, that doesn't work, this doesn't look right. And then as we, as a team, continued to improve, we just kept seeing those tickets shrink lower and lower until there was barely any every time we deployed a batch of sites. So that was fun. So yeah, to your question, you know, I do a couple of things. I've got the management side, and then project side, I'm typically the one kind of team to get the project.
And what kind of projects you're doing?
A lot of projects. Lately, a lot of them have been migration efforts of some kind. Pretty much everywhere you go, there's always a large migration effort. So because of my experience with SharePoint and things that I've been doing over the years, I oftentimes fall into the migration space. If there's a development project, I'll get somewhat involved in that. These days it's been typically oversight. So we might have a developer working on something, and I would just be involved to make sure that either the timeline is making sense, if we're tracking properly, making sure that we're going to be done on time. If there's an approach that we need to review to make sure that it's working or it's going to work in a way that we're expecting it to work, or the customer's expecting it. There's some power platform work that I've been involved in. Most recently, there was one where we were building a project and client site provisioning solution. So there was a form involved in that one, and workflow on the back end to do some of the provisioning and the joining to like a hub site. Quite a bit of different things.
So, how a Microsoft Power Platform are solving problems?
So I kind of mentioned earlier that it's just been an evolution of the product. So there have always been needs to do things like create forms to capture data, create process automation. So Power Platform is essentially the latest set of tools that can help you do that. But it's also geared a lot toward the everyday person at an organization who's interested, tech savvy, and just needs to build things. So, there's always a need for some type of solution at an organization. But a lot of the times it kind of, whether it gets created or not, depends on the budget. And while you can have projects in Power Platform that are large scale projects that you maybe would have a consulting company come out and do for you, there are some things that you can do on your own where you don't need to go and hire and pay thousands of dollars to have somebody build it. You could gradually build it internally. And it could be simple things. Like you can start off with, I just need something to capture this information and put it in the right format in the right location. And you'll build a form out for that. Or it could be something as simple as, I need to be notified when this particular thing happens, or this document gets, this list gets updated. And if I don't get notified, manager needs to get notified. Like we have a timeline to do a certain set of steps after this event happens. And, if you don't do it, it could cost you financially, or it can cost, it could slow down a process or whatever. You can tackle those things with something like Power Automate, and the business can just kind of define their rules. They don't necessarily need to go hire someone to do it if it's just a few steps. But a lot of times, companies have their budget and they'll focus on the larger thing that needs to be done. And sometimes these smaller projects get pushed to the side. And I think Power Platform is a good way. It's a good middle ground. Like it can give a company's employees the power to kind of build their own things that they might need. But on the flip side, if the thing is too large, and they're not following good practices, they now have the tools to make something very big that is either not working properly or poorly constructed or using in the way that they built it. They might start hitting limitations that they're not aware of, like how long the workflow can run, and then build a long-running contract management solution that ends up dying because it keeps hitting the end date of a flow. So it's good and bad. It empowers people to be able to build things to make their work more efficient when without having to necessarily hire someone to do it for them. But it also gives them the tools to potentially make some noise in an organization if they're not careful.
So, how you develop the all different skills? You are an author writing a professional book, and also you are a speaker, organizer. You're doing that, and you're also team lead, leading a team and managing them and telling them what to do. And apart from this, you are a consultant. Also, you have done multiple jobs and you have multiple skills. So, how you gained this?
I don't know how I it's really just time. When I started, I didn't really have a lot of work experience. I had an internship in college, and it went well. And when I graduated college, they threw me a bone and they gave me some part-time work while I looked for my first full-time job. And that's usually the hardest thing for people coming out of college is finding that first job because they don't have experience. And I always tell people an internship is a great way to get that experience. You may develop some relationships and get your first job out of that internship. And then from there, you can kind of build the skills that you need to move forward. But so, you know, I get my first job and I'm learning, you know, web development. I'm learning C# a little bit more than what I did in college. I'm seeing it in practice. I'm building things on SharePoint. And then a lot of times it's the variety of the projects, the complexity. Like I said, you can have two different companies, same department, asking for the same thing, and you have to build it completely different. So you start trying new ways of building things. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. But you start developing those skills there. You have to have a desire and a passion to continually be learning and tinkering and doing new stuff. So back then, you know, I would often, you know, I would spend my day at work writing code, reading articles about development and how to improve. I would buy books on the topics, how to write better code. I've always been fortunate to have really good people around me. So, you know, I've always had people that I've been able to lean on, ask questions, and go back and forth. And then as I've gone through my career, I'm always thinking about what's next. So I'm always developing the skills to pick up the next thing. And that's just how I've moved up in my career. As far as all the different technologies and stuff, that's really just like consulting lends itself well to that. And you're always going to have a variety of customers asking for different things. So, you know, it's not uncommon for you to go, oh, I've never done that before, but I guess I'll have to ramp up on it right before the project starts and learn how to do it and you figure it out. As far as all the other things that I do on the side, those are just things that I've been interested in doing. And I find a way to carve some time out to do them. So the blogging, usually the blogging happens when I do something new at work. I don't know. Typically if I do something at work, I solve some problem, I think it's cool, I write it down. I started blogging actually, I want to say somewhere around 2000. Man, when did I start blogging? It was in the 2007, 2008 range, somewhere around there, I think. I was working a contract position and the contract expired. And it was during the recession. So I had a couple of months where I wasn't working. So I took that time to get some certifications, start up a blog and, you know, I kept basically practicing craft and writing about it. And then I just kind of kept it alive ever since. So, like I said, I don't write often. It's kind of, if something comes to mind and if I had the time and the moment to do it, I'll do it. And then the events and stuff, that just kind of happened. It was something I was interested in doing. So, and events don't really take up too much of your time. Organizing an event takes a little bit of time because there's a lot of things that happen behind the scenes, from like ordering the food and all the setup and finding the speakers and finding the sponsors and getting support and all these other things. That does take a little bit of time, but that's, you know, you end up getting a team of people, and I have a couple of good buddies that we, you know, just do a variety of events together. So we kind of help each other out. So that's always beneficial. But, you know, prior to us like doing multiple events throughout the year, that big event was just an annual event. And what else? And then the book took time. So the book, I often spent nights and weekends writing that one. I'd work all day, spend some time with my wife and kid, and then near the end of the night, when the little one's going to sleep, and she stays up late, so it takes some time. I would start writing, and it would not be, you know, pretty much every chapter, there was at least one night where I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning writing, just because to get it done or a deadline was coming. But I don't know. I guess you just have to manage your time and just continue to grow, continue to try new stuff.
So most of the roles that you have done in your career from 2003 to till today, the present job, all the roles needs logical thinking. So how you are able to have or maintain that logical thinking mindset ability?
A lot of times what the requests are very similar. They're, you know, someone needs a, I don't know, I'm trying to think of something. It could be site provisioning or an employee onboarding or something. And a lot of the steps and there's a lot of similarities to draw on. So you're usually just looking for the differences and just focusing on what's different about this project than the last project. But you know, there's always a team of people. So you're always bouncing ideas off of people and trying to figure out how to build this thing. There's usually someone who's trying to get the requirements, and you get together and you look at the requirements and you figure, okay, well, we can build it this way or we can build it that way. And then someone in the conversation might go, well, this might be a problem because of this requirement. And then you just kind of go back and forth figuring it out. But I don't know. I never really thought about it because, I don't know. My job is to figure it out. So if you don't know it, you got to figure it out. You start doing searches and you start seeing if anybody else has done it, done something similar. Maybe you can get some ideas off of that. And, you just got to figure it out, and you just have to have good communication with people, because the last thing you want to do is you don't want to build something because you misunderstood and then you built something completely wrong. So it's good to bounce it off of the others who are building the thing with you. It is good to have those discussions and figure out what would work and what doesn't work. And even with the customer, you should be transparent with the customer and talk to them about what it is you're building, why you're building it, some of the issues and limitations that you might be seeing as part of the build, so that they can tell you, oh, no, you misunderstood this. And you catch it early, they fix it early, because the later you find the issue, the harder it is back on it. So constant communication and working with figure things out together.
So how much do you rate yourself when it comes to problem solving ability that you have?
Oh, I don't know. That's a tough one. I mean, I'm good at it. I don't know. I don't know how to answer that one. You just kind of have to do it. And yeah, I don't know. If you ask me like 1 to 10, I don't know where to put it. It's definitely above a 5. I'll say that. but where it falls in between there, I don't know. And again, you gotta trust the people that you work with. And you know, you can do as much as you can on your own, but everyone has the same goal. In consulting, I've always found that it's very much a team. You really need to rely on your colleagues to really be able to support each other, bounce ideas off of each other. And, you know, the best places to work are the places where you can build those trusting relationships with people and, you know, feel comfortable in your role and in your job and feel that you're growing because you have people around you that are supporting you, necessarily, you know, putting you down because you didn't know something or, you know, whatever. Having that team around you is so important. You know, that's one of the things that I try to do in my role as a team lead. Like I tell my team, you know, if you have an issue, you know, feel free to let me know. And I try to make them feel comfortable about it because I want to be that support for them. And, you know, and they'll reach out to me. That could be a work related issue that they're having. Or it could be a project issue. And, you know, they might think it's a silly question, you know, for like the project related stuff, but you don't make people feel bad about it because everybody's at a different point in their career and you help people through it. So, you know, kind of going back to the how do you do it? I think it's more about, you know, you build your experiences through your job and figure out how to tackle issues. But you also have to rely on others to help you through it. Like you can't really do it.
And all these years that you are in technology, what is your way of looking at any problem that you face?
Do I have a way of looking at the problems? I work on a variety of things, so it's kind of tricky. The first thing I would probably try to do, depending on, yeah, I guess I could probably say it this way. You try to start with a baseline of something that's worked in the past. So if it's a migration and it has, you know, a certain timeline, did you do a migration in the past with a similar timeline? If you did, what worked, what didn't work? So that's another thing you should always try to record, whether in your notes or somewhere official, what you learned from those projects, so then you don't repeat those mistakes again. Because, you know, that's draining. It's a waste of time. So you always want to try to learn from the mistakes. So I usually start with, have we done this before? What did that look like? Was it was it a 3-week project? Did we go, were we on time? Did we cut it close? Did we go over budget? And then make those adjustments there. Same thing when you're working on pretty much anything, is you start with the framework, figure out what worked before, what adjustments need to be made, what are the differences that you might want to account for working.
Does a new problem intimidate you?
No. I think a lot of that though has to do with just I'm just comfortable right now in my career. I don't worry about things. I just kind of let things happen. So no, if a new thing comes through, I don't necessarily worry about it. I guess it depends on it would probably depend on the timeline for the project. Is it going to be something that's needs to be done quickly? And have I done it before? If I haven't done it before and it needs to be done quickly, then maybe I might be a little bit worried, but then I'll probably spend, you know, some free time here and there ramping up on the thing, learning, trying to figure out how it works so that I can approach the project a certain way. That doesn't happen often though. There's usually someone on the team that's experienced with it, so you don't have to worry too much about knowing everything about something. I don't think I get worried and have to face something new.
And how you are able to adapt for the change, the constant change that is happening in technology?
That's the hard part. Because for me, I like to think of myself as a generalist, right? So I'll do a SharePoint framework project. I'll do a Power Platform project. I'll do a migration. I'll do a traditional web development project. Like I'll do all these things, but realistically, it's you can't keep up, right? I can't tell you what the changes were in the most recent version of the SharePoint framework. I can, you know, I can, you know, I may not know all of the latest changes on all different tools at the time, because I might not be focusing on that tool at that time. If I get on the SharePoint framework project, then I'll start diving into what was in the latest release and figure it out from there. But it's very difficult, especially now with everything in the cloud and how quickly things change, to keep up. I guess if you just have an area of focus and you stick to the basics, that's the other thing. Like you don't, a lot of times you don't need all the extra bells and whistles that come with the newest version of something. You know, like take Power Platform, for instance, right? You might just need it for forms and workflows. Power Pages might not matter to you. So you don't necessarily need to learn Power Pages right away. It's nice to be aware of it, but you don't have to dive into it. So, you know, I guess it's case by case. I try to look at what was released on the newest product when I'm using that product, but I'm not keeping up with everything that's changed on all the products and all the platforms as they're coming through, because you're just not going to be able to keep up, and it may not matter to you.
So you are seeing the constant change that is happening in technology from long time. So how technology is solving human problems?
That's a good question. It's making it easier to build solutions to solve your problems, especially like things like the Power Platform. Like I said, like your job can be much more efficient, and you can be able to work on more important things if you can do simple automations. And if you don't have the budget to get somebody to do it, that's not necessarily a blocker anymore. So these tools, you know, they give you the ability to do more, and not need to have to budget for more. And I think the important thing is also to make incremental changes. Like you don't have to build this massive solution to solve your problems at work. It could be something very small and very simple. And then you brainstorm and go, oh, well, this other thing doesn't work for me. Let's see if I can add it to the solution. And then you add it. And then just gradually improve it. And that's where the whole citizen developer thing kind of works, right? You don't have to sit down and have these big requirements and have it be such a complex solution that is going to require all these people to be involved and help. Build a form that updates a SharePoint list, because you know so-and-so kept typing it in the wrong format, or forgetting this one field, or forgetting to do this. And you can have a form that has those validations in there and prevents them from doing that. You know, an item gets created. Let's say an employee onboarding, and someone gets hired, you know, HR has to do a bunch of things. Operations has to do a bunch of things. You have to order them a phone. You have to assign them a desk. You have to, assuming they're going to office, you have to get them a laptop. You have to do all these things. And if someone take the laptop, because I've seen this happen before, someone doesn't order the laptop when they're supposed to order the laptop, the person comes to the office and doesn't have a laptop. So if you have a workflow that says HR approved that this person's hired, and then starts going through the steps, send a notification to the person that orders the laptop, send a notification to the person who's going to be assigned as the buddy to introduce the person to the company. Send the notification to the manager, letting them know that new employee is going to start on the date. And you start patching the holes that your organization has and improving processes, so you don't miss things like that, and you don't waste a day of an employee's time coming to the office and not being able to do anything.
And how your presence in technology have changed things on the planet?
Oh, I don't know if I've changed anything on the planet. I don't know. I think my thing is, I like to help people. I think that's why I like consulting, because I'm helping a variety of people. It might just be helping them with business issues, but and in some cases it's organizations that have bigger missions that are cool. That it's nice to think that I help to support them in their business so that they can help do some of the things that they're doing. But I don't know. I think my thing is just helping individuals. Right. So these events that I organize, it was part of my way of getting involved in the community, but I like the idea of helping people learn things. And you know, I like helping people through their careers. So, you know, this kind of works, right? Because I'm organizing events where subject matter experts are coming in and teaching people new things that they may not have known before, that they can go back to work and implement, and you know, they expand their skills, they get to meet new people, build those friendships, and you know, maybe meet their future employers and things like that. So I don't know if I have a global, I definitely don't have a impact like that. My impact is more on individuals and helping an individual move forward and learn new things.
What is difficult for you, communicating with computers or communicating with human beings?
I don't know how to answer that. I'm an introvert. I can talk to people. I have no problem talking to people. I have no problem engaging with people. I have no problem going to networking events, obviously. I have no problem organizing networking events. But I do find it draining. After those events, I feel like I ran a marathon. So, and it's not like I don't get nervous around people. I don't get nervous talking to people. When I'm being interviewed, I have a hard time looking at the camera. That could be one thing, but it's more of I just don't know where to half the time. I would say it's probably harder. I don't know. Technology's always changing, you know, but it's documented, it's easy. Talking to people, you know, I don't have a problem talking to people. It does wear me out though, but maybe that's the answer, right? Maybe it's harder dealing with people and personalities, but for me it's not so much that. I pretty much get along with just about anybody. It's more of the, you know, feeling drained afterwards. The more people, the more drained.
So what are your next plans? You want to write more books and you want to organize more things? What's your next?
Yeah, so the event organizing, that's going to stay the same. You know, I work with the same few guys on this, and I think we're getting more intentional about when we actually have a list of about 7 total events this year. Whether we do them all or not, we'll find out. But we have, you know, tentative schedules for when we would want to do them and which events we want to do. That'll stay the same. Writing a book, I don't know. Writing a book was something I've always wanted to do. I've told people this story before, but when I was in high school, college age, my mom decided she wanted to go back and get her master's degree. And so she had to write a dissertation. And at the end, you know, I would help her with the editing and stuff. But at the very end, they took all her papers and they made a book out of it. And I believe, I know she still has it. I don't know where she puts it anymore. But I always thought that was the coolest thing. And then when I started my career, that was, before everything kind of shifted to the cloud, there were tons of books out there from different publishing companies. At the time, the most prominent one that I think of was Rocks. And you would see all the MVPs on the cover, and they would contribute like a chapter or two. And I always thought that if I ever did it, it would be something like that. I never thought I would write an entire book on it. And then when everything's shifted to the cloud and things changing so frequently, I figured that ship had sailed and now. And, the acquisition editor reached out to me and I decided, let's give it a try because I'm probably never going to have the opportunity to do it again. But in terms of writing a future book, I don't know. I guess it might depend on the topic. Someone did reach out to me recently about seeing if I'd be interested in writing another book, and I turned them down. I could potentially see myself writing updates to the current book. You know, as new things come about, as new features, if it's significant enough, I can probably see myself making a second edition of the book. But I don't know. I don't think I would write. I don't have plans right now to write something I always wanted to do. I did it. And we'll see where we go from there. So yeah, just more events, really. I would like to get more, I'd like to get more consistent about blogging. That's always been something that I've just not been able to do. So the blog might stay the way. Where maybe I'll try to be more consistent about delivering something every month. But that means I would probably have to write something if I'm gonna get something this month. I think my last blog post was my last technical blog post was in this month. I think that's pretty much it. It's more of the same, really, I would say.
And what is your observation about my work?
I think it's interesting. I was curious, like, how did you get into this? How did you decide you wanted to do this? Lift it. I'm interviewing you now.
Yeah. So when I have completed my master's, I was preparing for PhD entrance. I want to do PhD. So I was studying a subject called computer networks, where the computers are interconnected and the information transfer is happening between computers using different mediums. The information transfer is happening. So I thought this is a creation of human being, this technology, this transfer of information from one place to another place by giving commands or by giving an instruction or by telling them what to do, what not to do. Acceptance and rejecting things, and this communication system. I was interested, like how this is happening. This is in between computers, which have no life. There is no life in between these devices, but things are happening quite quickly. So the creator of this system is human being. So maybe human got this idea by understanding the communication system between humans. So I thought, why can't I create a human network where human beings can, are interconnected, at least me connecting with human beings from different parts of the world, from not only technology, also the non-technical people. I just want to see whether I can able to communicate and connect with their thought or not. Some of my qualities actually helped me to make this happen. Having open mind and listening what they have experienced and how they solved problems in their life in different situations and different periods of their lives. So that is the reason I did this.
You're definitely an extrovert. Yeah, I saw a couple of your past videos. You interviewed David and and then helping them with. Yeah, so it's cool that you do it. It's fun, it's interesting, and it's different, right? I think the way you approach it has been different. So it's cool.
So right now I'm doing DevOps engineering. So that is my full-time role. Apart from that, I'm talking with experts like you who are already in the industry for a long time, solving different problems, handling different projects, talking with different experts in the world, making things happen. Me talking with experts like you, asking questions and getting answers and trying to know all this from different experts around the world, what I'm going to learn and how this experience is going to be helpful for me if I work in IT.
I think in general, in your career, it's always good to network. Because I think most people find like future jobs through the people that they've met and the people that they've worked with. It's good to be out there, right? You're visible now, right? You've got all these different social media platforms. So people get to know you, and people getting to know you is actually just in general good for your career. It just seems that way to me. The more you do, the more you are out there doing things, the more you're showing your interest in certain things, the easier it gets to kind of prove it to the next employer that you're really into certain things, because you're out there and you can see your stuff is out there. I think in general, the networking is a good thing because it opens up doors and possibilities for you.
So if you can send me your web links, it can be your blog or it can be your book web link or your social media, whatever. I'll share with my audience. People who find the video on YouTube can see it and can learn from you.
Yeah, I'll send you that.
I'll put in my website as well. Anybody who finds my website can see it.
Sounds good.
And can you spell your presence to my podcast listeners?
What was the question?
Can you spell your presence, online presence, they can find your work?
Yeah. So I think the main place would probably be direct.me/sharepointjr. I've been trying something new lately because I realized that I was doing a lot of different things and that I didn't necessarily have a place to have all those links. So I put all the links in there. It has the links to my different social media handles for the user group, my personal one, the M365 Philly event. It has links to upcoming events, past events, blog, pretty much everything. When new things come up, I try to update it. It has a link to the book, all of that stuff. Can't forget the book. The book's right there. Can't forget the book.
So I'll put that all-in-one link in the on the screen as well. People who watch the video can see it on the screen and can see and can learn from you, can find solutions from your book.
Great. Thank you.
Can I put this video on my YouTube channel with your permission?
Yes.
And also, can I put this audio and video clip on my podcast, website, internet, social media, everywhere with your permission?
Sure.
Thanks, Jason, for your valuable time and sharing some of your experiences and answering some of my questions.
Oh, thanks for inviting me. I thought this was fun.
Thanks, sir, again.
All right. Have a good one.
Bye.